I don't know when to jump in on this. All right, now I'm jumping in. I'm jumping into the deep end, Wendy. Alexander Zalbin is here. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. He comes on and we talk about television entertainment. How are you, Alexander? Everything good?
I'm doing great. I love your new theme music. It's nice.
Yeah, it's dynamic.
Maybe we should use this for talking
TV. Very dynamic. Alexander, tonight, one of my all-time favorite television shows returns for one night only, Deadwood on HBO. What do we need to know?
Yeah, this is coming on at 8 p.m. on HBO. It's bringing the Deadwood cast back together after a decade apart, and I believe it takes place essentially in real time for the Western, so 10 years have passed there as well. But Ian McShane is back, Timothy Oliphant is back, most, if not all, of the cast is back. It's very exciting. We don't actually know a lot what to expect about the movie. So far, reviews have been very, very positive, so yeah, that's a good note. But, man, that series was so good. It's exciting to see even another 2 hours of it.
I never watched a second of it.
It's so good.
And I love Timothy Oliphant.
It's so good. And it's almost, the rhythm is almost Shakespearean. I know people who watch it, they go, oh, it's just a bunch of cowboys swearing at each other for an hour. No, it's not. It's so much better. It's ruined me on every other Western. Because
really?
It's not as good as Deadwood. It's just so much fun.
Well,
to watch.
I will tell you, actually, to your point, this is a fact that not a lot of people know. And I discovered this after I watched the first episode and couldn't understand why everybody was talking like that. They actually wrote most of the episodes in iambic pentameter,
which is
the same rhythm that Shakespeare wrote in. Yeah, so if you go in expecting something where there is a lot of swearing, there is a lot of violence, but it's so heightened and so tragic and hopeful and terrible at the same time, it's incredible.
You know what I noticed from watching 3 years of it is it's so brutal. The depiction about the times, it was the 1880s, and everybody's just, they're shooting each other, they're punching each other, they're hitting each other with glass bottles, they're swearing at each other. More episodes than not were written by women, and I don't know why that surprises me, but it does.
No, all of the characters across the board, even though it's definitely led by Ian McShane and Timothy Oliphant, it's very equal in terms of how it treats all the characters, and I think that's another thing that makes it special. It's not just a bunch of rogue dudes going off and putting down the law like most Westerns. It's much more about the characters and the town and what's happening there.
The interesting thing is when it ended, and it ended about a decade ago, they didn't expect it to end. It was doing well in the ratings. Mm-hmm. HBO liked it, and the producers of the show just went on to do other things, and they just left everybody kind of up in the air. So this just kind of closes things off the way it should have been years ago. So I can't be more excited than this.
Yeah, it really should be great. And to the point of closing it off, we'll actually have to see, because the cast is so gung-ho and so into it that if they want to make more, if this does well, I think we'll see more Deadwood. Maybe 10 years, but, you know, at some point down
one
there.
Every 10 years. All right, I'm
there
in.
There you go.
That's fine.
When does Curb come back? Speaking of, you know, taking a long break, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Has a date been announced for that yet?
I don't believe a date has been announced for that yet. I mean, we know that they're working on more of it. They've been renewed for a 10th season. It'll probably be sometime next year. But HBO, the way they release their schedule, it's usually only a couple of months in advance. So we don't actually even know what's coming up for them at this point after the summer.
Got it.
Alexander, there was a lot of kidding among the late night hosts saying that with Game of Thrones done now, HBO is in peril. They don't know what they're going to do. That's not true, is it? They've got plenty of other stuff going on at HBO.
No, it's funny. One of my writers, Kayla Cobb, actually is working on a story that we were talking about earlier today about this, where what people underestimate about HBO is they always have these very steady series that not just truck along, but build as they go. You only need to look at Chernobyl, which I believe we talked about last week, which nobody would have thought a miniseries about the Chernobyl disaster would be a hit, but it is only built every single week that it's been on the air. Same if you go back and look at the John Turturro series, The Night Of. Nobody really watched the first episode, and then it became really talked about and buzzed about by the end. Same even with Big Little Lies, in a certain sense. It wasn't as big at the beginning as it was at the end of the run, and that's that special magic that HBO has. They figure out the right mix for things, they hook in an audience, and where most TV series lose their audiences over the course of the run, HBO manages to build them up. So I definitely don't count them out.
The guy taking the biggest shots at HBO is John Oliver, whose show is on HBO, and it's probably the best written show on television. It's so well written, but it's just funny that he takes almost weekly shots at HBO and how they're descending without Game of Thrones.
You know, I think I think there's something network execs like that because they have their talent talking about them and it shows that they can kind of have fun with themselves and they're okay with it. If there really was a step too far or anything like that, I think they would probably shut it down. But as it is, they know John Oliver is a truth seeker. He's pushing that. He's doing it in a funny way. And he wouldn't really totally bite off the hand to feed him, so to speak.
Do you think David Letterman invented that when he was at NBC, when he would take nightly shots at his bosses?
Yeah, he definitely set the precedent in terms of making fun of the network, and that's something that people run with. It's funny, in the upfront presentations a few months ago, Warner Media was bought by AT&T, and Conan O'Brien was hosting it, and he was vicious, and this was to advertisers, where he was saying, there's going to be a party after the upfront presentation, but because it's AT&T, the service will be very bad. And his follow-up joke was, and there will only be two bars. They like that. Again, it shows that they can take a joke.
That's so funny.
I don't know what to watch this summer. All my shows have ended. The Kids Are All Right was canceled. Good Girls is over with. AP Bio, I believe, was let go, and I was into that. The only thing I have to look forward to is Big Brother, which comes in June. And will Julie Chen Moonves still be a part of it?
Yeah, as far as I know, she is. The show is continuing. I know you love that show, so it's going to be coming back and eating up all of your time. Another reality one I'll throw out that I haven't seen, but our social director, Karen, was talking about this yesterday, a show called 90 Day Fiancé, where apparently people try out being engaged to each other for 90 days and see how it works.
You don't get to do that. That is so unfair. You're stuck after those 90 days.
Well, I will say the reason that I bring it up is she also loves Big Brother, and she was saying it's another one of those shows. There's so much extra content that comes along with the show, people talking about it, showing deleted scenes, having talk shows about it, that it's another thing that can really help fill up your time over the summer when there's a little less TV.
All right.
You got something.
90 Day Fiancé.
Alexander Zeldin's our guest. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. We're talking about television, what's coming out this weekend and for the rest of the month. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Texts are coming in at 312-981-7200. Alexander Zeldin is our guest from Decider.com. Alexander, I think this is a typo. I'm really looking forward to the show. Alexander talked about 90 Day Beyonce, where you get to hang out with Beyonce for 3 months. That's not what you said at all. It's fiance, right?
90 Day Fiance, yes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Although the Beyonce show sounds interesting. All right, a bunch of them I'm just going to throw past you really quick. Tell me what you think. First up, Always Be My Maybe. I just saw an ad for this last night. What is that? I have no idea what this is.
This is a new rom-com that dropped on Netflix today. It stars Ali Wong and Randall Park. It's not exactly a remake of When Harry Met Sally, but it's a little bit of a take on that. It's very funny. I was laughing out loud pretty much the entire time. It's also very romantic. Without spoiling too much, there is a all-timer cameo by Keanu Reeves in the movie that you have to check out.
I'm in. I am 100% in.
She sold Wendy. She's leaving now. She's packing her things to go see it now. Always Be My Maybe, and that's on Netflix as of today, you said, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Good Omens. This is a classic battle of good versus evil.
Yeah, this is a new 6-episode series on Prime Video. It's also all there today. It stars David Tennant as a demon, and I keep getting this wrong, so I'm going to look at it. Michael Sheen as an angel. I keep saying Martin Sheen, which is definitely wrong. But the two of them are teaming up to stop Armageddon. It's based on the classic novel by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. It's very funny. There's all-star cameos throughout it, from John Hamm to Michael McKean and many, many more. It's very goofy. It's very weird. But if you're a fan of the source material of the book or just David Tennant running around screaming at things, you'll probably enjoy the series.
When They See Us. This is on Netflix, again, hitting today. What is When They See Us?
Yeah, so this is a 4-part miniseries from filmmaker Ava DuVernay, and it focuses on the story of the Central Park Five. This is a case that followed 5 kids who were accused of rape in Central Park in the 80s. One of the big things that I think people are going to hook into is, at the time, Donald Trump went real hard in on them, putting out full-page ads in the New York Times calling for their arrest and execution, and eventually they were actually exonerated. So this follows their story throughout the decades as the event happens, And then later on, as they eventually are cleared of the crimes through rather shocking circumstances, it's very powerful. It's not particularly easy to watch, but it's definitely an important four-part series to check out if you are curious about that sort of thing.
Another version of Swamp Thing. They keep trying Swamp Thing sometimes on in movies, sometimes on TV. What's different about this version of Swamp Thing?
Not a whole lot, to be honest. This is a version that's going to be on DC Universe, which is DC Comics streaming service. It stars Crystal Reed, who you might recognize if you're a fan of Teen Wolf or maybe the show Gotham. It comes from James Wan, who's a horror director, and a couple of other people who have horror creds. I'll be honest, I didn't like it. It felt like schlock is the wrong way and a little poorly put together. Felt like a B-movie that didn't quite come together, but I have seen a lot of other reviewers that I do respect who did enjoy it on a cheesy movie bent, which is not necessarily my thing. So if you want to see some gross effects, you might want to check out the first episode of that.
I didn't know that this network even existed. This is all DC comic related stuff on this network?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, a lot of people do not know that it exists. It's a streaming service for DC comics and DC TV shows, not including the CW shows, but they have a couple of originals, including a Doom Patrol, which is the adaptation of that comic TV show, which was superb. That actually just finished its run. It also had a Titans, a very adult take on the Teen Titans, that was on the service, and it has a couple of legacy things, like the old Superman movies, old Superman serials, as well as a ton of comics if you're interested in checking out the source material. It's definitely a fun thing to subscribe to, but they've been having a little trouble making it feel vital with everything else that you need to subscribe to at the same time.
Sure. Fear the Walking Dead premieres on Sunday. The new season premieres on Sunday.
Have you been still watching it?
Oh, Bill? Yeah.
I bailed
like
it. On it after you gave up? The second season.
It really rejuvenated itself very nicely mm-hmm. last season.
Well, now Morgan is on it.
Yeah.
From the original.
Real Walking Dead, yeah.
Yeah. So without getting into spoilers, I have seen the premiere, and it's actually pretty great. I've been a little back and forth on Fear the Walking Dead. It feels like they'll have half a season where it's a little off. And then, to your point, the last half a season, they got it back on track and figured out what the show was like. This is season premiere. There's great action. It's very taut. And again, without getting into spoilers, if you're a fan of the Walking Dead franchise as a whole, you're definitely going to want to tune into this episode.
May I ask both of you, or actually you, Alex, because you've seen it, can I just jump back in, or do I have to get caught up?
Yeah, you absolutely can jump back in. The only thing you really need to know is there's a bunch of these survivors who were on Fear the Walking Dead. Morgan is there, as you mentioned. And the last season, they took on a new mission, which was, instead of fighting everybody, actually going to try to help people and deliver supplies throughout their area. And that's pretty much where we pick up in the season premiere. That's really the only thing you need to know. It'll be kind of a wash of faces. You'll say, oh, hey, isn't that Jenna Elfman? Wait, that's Maggie Grace. And they are, in fact, on the show. But other than that, it's just some good old-fashioned zombie killing.
All right, I'm back in.
The kind you love, Wendy. The kind of zombie killing you grew up with.
Can I just tell you how, I mean, as the regular Walking Dead was progressing, it's like the kills got to be so much worse, but then it got to a point where I didn't even notice them. Oh. It's like they didn't even...
Wow.
They didn't mean anything to me anymore because I was so used to seeing them.
Yeah.
You get, used to it. That's terrible to say.
Yeah, it definitely becomes... It's just rolling and rolling on at a certain point. But I will say this episode, at least, is much more action-focused. And the action sequences, the way they kill off the zombies, the creative way they figure out to bring them together, I was interested again. I'm tentative about it, but at least at this episode, I'm back on board.
Speaking of AMC, Alex, I don't know if you'll remember this. I asked you about this show way back in January. I saw a very quick teaser clip, and it struck me as interesting. Nosferatu... What is this?
Yes. So this debuts after Fear the Walking Dead on AMC at around 10 p.m., 10:05-ish, so tune in for that. It's based on the novel by Joe Hill, and it's a little bit of a riff on vampires, as you can tell by the title, but it's basically the psychic vampire played by Zachary Quinto, who drives around in a car and gets kids to get in his car by promising he's going to take them to a place called Christmas Land. It focuses on him as well as a girl, Vic, who eventually is going to oppose him. I'll tell you, I watched the first episode. It's 55 minutes long, so it's pretty long by network standards.
Yeah.
But I was engrossed the entire time. I found it creepy, scary, well shot, well acted. I'm also a big fan of the book, so I have, you know, sort of a little bit of a predilection to like it, but I really liked it a lot, and I highly urge people to check it out.
I have fallen for that Christmas Land ruse more than once. I still fall for it. If a guy pulls up in a car, I go, yeah, I want to see Christmas Land.
Don't take candy from strangers.
No.
Don't do it.
Does it take place modern day, or is it Nosferatu of old?
No, it takes place modern day. And if you're going in expecting a straightforward blood-sucking tale, it's definitely not that at all. But you can see hints of the Dracula thing. The main character, again, Charlie Manx, has sort of a Renfield character who works for him. Certainly he's sucking the life out of people, but that's really where it veers off from there.
I can't wait to see it. It looks really good.
And I did think of something I'm going to be able to watch this summer. Baskets is coming back, and I believe that's in June is it FX? I forgot where it was even.
Yeah, it's coming back to FX on June 13th at 10 p.m. And that show's great. That's one of those shows that just has followed its own path as FX lets the creators do. And it's continued to get better and better as it's gone on.
David Letterman's show, it's called My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. I think those were all released this morning, I think, right? Do you know?
Yeah, they're trying a little different schedule for season two. Previously, it was released monthly. They were all released today on Netflix. The guests include Tiffany Haddish, Kanye West, Ellen DeGeneres, and a couple of others. The Kanye West one is the one that everybody's been kind of buzzing and talking about right now, if you want to jump into that, because
It's Kanye West, shall we say.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But it's Kanye West with Letterman. That's what I want to see.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Classic comedy duo back together.
I give him so much credit because when Johnny Carson retired, Johnny Carson said, you're still going to see me. I'm still going to do things. It's not the last time you're going to see me. And it was the last time we saw him. With Letterman, we all thought he'll just fade into the distance. And he didn't. He came back with the show, and it's great.
Yeah, particularly that first episode that he did with Barack Obama where
that
he talked
great.
About exactly that, why he came back, why he is doing this, and fighting his own relevance / irrelevance was fascinating to watch.
He was on The View today. I haven't seen it yet because I was doing this show, but I can't wait to go home and watch Letterman on The View. Will you be doing the same, Alex? Or just
Alex,
me?
Do you watch The View? Be honest, because Bill is the only guy I know who watches it.
I'll tell you what, I do not watch The View, but our news writer, Claire, watches The View every day because we usually write something about it, because usually somebody does something absolutely insane that we have to write news about. So I'm very well aware now, much more than I was a couple of months ago, with the continuity of what's going on with everybody in The View, which is an interesting place to be at.
But Claire's a woman, right?
Right.
I'm the only guy. They even thank me sometimes at the end of The View.
Thanks, Bill.
Take a little time to enjoy The View, Bill. They'll say that at the end. Alex, thank you so much. There's a lot to look forward to on TV, especially Deadwood tonight over on HBO. Have a great week, and we'll chat with you a week from now.
Sounds good. Hope you enjoy Deadwood.
I can't wait.
Thanks, Alex.
Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com.